Good morning. This is Pastor Bob from the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. First of all, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there. What a special day this is, and I hope that all of you realize how much you are appreciated. I wanted to read a few verses out of Psalm 36 that I think is appropriate for honoring mothers. On a very personal note, I lost my mother 19 years ago this month, and I just want you all to know that there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about her. That's the impact that mothers have on the lives of their children. So I hope all of you feel honored today. And I want to read now a few verses out of Psalm 36. Even though this is a psalm of praise to our Lord, these words remind me of our love for our mothers as well. Your love is faithful, Lord, and even the clouds in the sky can depend on you. Your decisions are always fair. They are firm like mountains, deep like the sea, and all people and animals are under your care. Your love is a treasure, and everyone finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You give your guests a feast in your house, and you serve a tasty drink that flows like a river. The life-giving fountain belongs to you, and your light gives light to each of us. Our Lord, keep showing love to everyone who knows you, and use your power to save all whose thoughts please you. Happy Mother's Day. This morning I want to have a scripture reading from 1 Timothy and offer some thoughts about the words that we hear from the Apostle Paul as he is writing to his young friend and protege, Timothy. This comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 21. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. I thought that passage was very appropriate with all that we're facing in today's world. And so I have entitled my sermon this morning, True Contentment, based on 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 21. This passage from 1 Timothy really spoke to me. Here is the wise old apostle Paul giving advice to Timothy, his young protege and colleague. Paul is nearing the end of his ministry, and Timothy is just starting his with the church in Ephesus. Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. Paul has lived a remarkable life, going from a persecutor of Christians to the one who Jesus personally converted and transformed into his apostle to the Gentiles and all the world. It is believed that Paul came from a wealthy Jewish family. He was well educated and had enjoyed the perks of a family with money. His status in society had given him power and opportunity to go after Christians because of their new faith in a risen Jesus Christ. He believed he was doing the right thing according to the Jewish law, as he understood it. He was persecuting those countercultural Christians who were following the teachings of an itinerant rabbi named Jesus, who was teaching about such things as love, compassion, and relationship. Jesus said that by following him, all people, rich and poor alike, could enter the kingdom of heaven. It's no wonder that Paul, with his strict adherence to the law, found it to be a righteous calling to persecute Christians and thereby get back at this man who some had called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Paul, after all, came from wealth and status. In his society, he had the right to put down those who had chosen to follow Jesus. But Paul's life changed when Jesus confronted him personally. Jesus called Paul to surrender his life to the one he had been persecuting and to become Christ's apostle to the world. Now today, we hear Paul teaching Timothy about the ways of the world. After many years as an apostle of Jesus, Paul is speaking with wisdom that comes with age and experience. He has lived the life of wealth and status, and he has lived the life of total surrender to the Lord. He wants Timothy to know that true contentment comes from the latter, from total surrender to the Lord. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." And then Paul says something that often gets misquoted. It is important that we hear what he actually says. He says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." How often have we heard someone say, money is the root of all evil. That's not what Paul said. He said the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. The love of money, not the money itself, is the problem. It's called idolatry. Usually, Bible passages about material wealth cause some amount of discomfort among audiences in our modern Northwestern hemisphere, which has a strong materialistic orientation. On a global scale, many of us would, after all, qualify as rich. I remember in my first year of seminary, my class on intercultural ministry was taught by a professor who was born and raised in Ethiopia. He told us that each one of us poor seminary students would be considered rich in his native country. We all had a roof over our head. We all had enough to eat. We all had found the means to pay tuition to begin working towards a graduate academic degree. He stressed that in much of the world, that was rich. Moreover, we often tend to associate personal success and happiness with material affluence. We easily forget that true contentment does not come from material things. Jesus himself tells us in Matthew 6, verse 24, that we cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon comes from the Greek word mammonos, which means wealth. Jesus is warning us that we cannot successfully serve two gods. When our worship of our true God, the Lord God Almighty, becomes in competition with our wealth, we have a major problem on our hands. God must come first if we are to experience true contentment. We recognize from the gospel accounts of Jesus' life on earth that he cared deeply for the poor. Throughout his ministry, he showed love and compassion and cared for all who were at the bottom of society at the time, namely the poor, the sick, and the outcast. On the other hand, there were wealthy people who were appreciated as benefactors in early Christianity. Luke mentions that many women who accompanied Jesus and his 12 disciples provided for them out of their resources. That comes from Luke 8, verse 3. Likewise, the Apostle Paul himself relied on the financial support of benefactors for his travels and his missionary activities. In Romans 16, verse 2, we are introduced to a woman named Phoebe, who is described as a patroness of Paul and many others, suggesting that she was a person of considerable status and prosperity. That is why we must remember Paul's actual words that the love of money is the problem, not the money itself. Those who dedicated their lives to furthering the message of Jesus Christ could not have done it without the generosity and support of those who were willing to share their wealth for the glory of God. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 18 and 19, Paul tells Timothy that those who have riches are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The life that really is. Paul is saying, be free of idolatry. Be free of the shackles of materialism. If you are blessed with wealth, rejoice and thank God, but share your blessing with others, because only God can provide the true life that really is. In his final charge to Timothy, Paul says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." It is clear that Paul loves and respects Timothy, so much so that he calls him a man of God. He wants Timothy to not only enjoy the life of true contentment, but he wants Timothy to be able to share that life with his church in Ephesus and with all others that he will come to know over a long and content life. There are echoes of Jesus here when he reminds his disciples, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." That comes from John 14, verse 23. Jesus is talking here about a home that is not built with human hands. This is a home where the true sense of shalom resides. Shalom is the Hebrew word that we often equate with peace, but it is much more than that. It is the peace, joy, happiness, fulfillment, and contentment that comes from God. In this home that Jesus is talking about, serving others is a part of the daily pattern. Worship punctuates each morning and evening. This home with God on earth offers but a glimpse of that eternal home to which we will enjoy Christ in unapproachable light. Because of God's grace, we have every reason to be content. This is the full life that no idol can replace. I, of course, find this particular teaching to be inspiring and profound. When I felt God's call to the ministry of Jesus Christ, I was initially afraid to let go of a secure life, security in the way that I understood it from the society around me. But I stepped out in faith, giving up the security of material things that I had built through a career. I was suddenly free to explore the wonderful and exciting world of God's grace. I came to understand that God's will for my life is for me to love Him, to trust Him, and to joyfully accept God's grace. Once I understood that, then God could start to lead me toward a vocation that would be honoring to Him. As I grew in my faith, and as I observed those who had entered ministry before me, I also recognized that those who are true servants of Christ are the ones who find joy and contentment in their lives. Each day is a new opportunity to trust God. Each day is a new opportunity to step out in faith and feel the satisfaction of being in God's will. I am reminded of the story told by one of my first spiritual formation professors, a wonderful man by the name of Dr. Bruce Demarest. For his birthday one year, his wife secretly registered him for a week-long spiritual retreat at a monastery in New Mexico. She paid for it in advance so that he couldn't back out. He said that at first he was a little bit incensed that his wife had done this. He said, "I have a doctorate in theology. I teach spiritual formation at a seminary. I have been active in my church for many years, What could I possibly gain by spending a week with a bunch of monks in a monastery? He said he went kicking and screaming that first time, actually thinking about turning and running as he approached the door to the monastery. But today he will tell you that it was a week that changed his life. He rose early each morning for prayer. Then he joined the monks for worship, then for breakfast, before beginning the chores of the day. He said he had never felt the presence of God so strongly in his whole life. He would join them again for prayer and worship and solitude in the evening. The simplicity of living in that environment and of understanding how few material things he needed to truly live a life was changing in his own relationship with Jesus Christ. He was living in a home not built by human hands, but it was a home where shalom resided. It was a life dedicated to serving our Lord Jesus Christ. So, as we now conclude Paul's first letter to Timothy, I hope we understand better that living a life of true contentment is all about living a life in the presence of God. If one is blessed with wealth, then a life in the presence of God will help to shed light on how to use that blessing to bring glory and honor to God. But in no way can wealth by itself be equated with true contentment. I offer this to the glory of God. Amen. Friends, I hope this message today touches your heart and gives you peace and comfort in the world around us. And now we have the special joy of hearing from our own Alan Vest again this morning, who has taken that special hymn by Horatio Spafford, the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And Alan has arranged and sung this hymn as only Alan can do. So we are again blessed by the talented Alan Vest. "It Is Well With My Soul."
Well, it is well with my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our
Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there, and may all of you experience God's richest blessings. Thank you for listening.